All right. Nice. We have a lot of information to cover, and I can guarantee you it's going to be a lot different than you expect. How many people were here last year? So heard me speak last year. Yeah, this is a much better room, huh? Holy man, we're sitting on each other's laps. Yeah, on the floor, yeah, that was great. So what I did this year is there's going to be a lot of information, and I've put two talks that I typically give. I give a nutrition talk, and I also give a superfood talk. For those of you that haven't heard of superfoods, you will today. And I've put it together into one, so we're going to be covering a lot of information. So what I'm doing is I'm recording this talk right now, and I also, at the end of this, I'm going to give you some opportunity to get some handouts. And then also, if you want the PowerPoints, all you have to do is text the word "be well" to that phone number. That actually goes to my office, and then you'll get a message, and it'll say, if you want the slides, just email your email address to admin@atlantiswellness.com. And then after I download this stuff, I'll send you all that stuff at the end. You'll get that also at the end. But it's easier just instead of everybody filling out something, it's just a simpler way to collect your email addresses if you want the information, okay? All right. So just to kind of give you a little bit of background on me, I'm a nutritionist, I'm an exercise physiologist, and a chiropractor. So I speak all over the country, nationally, internationally. We've been on CBS News, NBC News, ABC. We've filmed a few documentaries. We've been in documentaries. And it's we used to publicate a show. We used to produce a show called Choices. Anybody ever see the show Choices? It was on Public Access. I think it ran in Wakefield. And it's all about, the idea is getting information out there. Because ultimately, what's your number one defining characteristic of your health and well-being? Your beliefs. Why? Because your beliefs define your actions. So whether you woke up this morning, and we'll be exploring this gingerly, and you had a glass of milk, or you woke up this morning and you had a glass of water, that was driven by a belief. Or you had a cup of coffee. Sorry, maybe. Yeah. All right, we're all jacked up on Java, right? All right, good, got you. Whether you had that cup of coffee within the first hour of when you woke up, or you understand the effect that coffee has, and you waited after an hour when you woke up and you had that cup of coffee, that lifestyle change or that action would be driven by a belief. So your entire life, what your fathers, your brothers, your preachers, your teachers have taught you that is correct. That's why I love to come in here with and talk to the educators. It's because you are influencing the thoughts and the mindset of our future. Because you're influencing the beliefs of the children or the people around you. And those beliefs are driving those actions. And regardless if you like it or not, you are a product of those actions. Whether you have high blood pressure, we see people with high cholesterol, diabetes, obesity, or whether you're fit, you're in shape, you're running the Boston Marathon in a few days. You can put a person A in front of me here and person B in front of me over here, and I can already make a assumption based on what their lifestyle is or what their belief system is. You know, I often hear a lot about a condition. Has anybody ever heard of chronic fatigue? No, not chronic fatigue. Forget about it. Hold on. Fibromyalgia, right? So fibromyalgia, there is a set of characteristics that go along with that. You know, fibromyalgia is basically inflammation in the muscle. But you have to have a specific belief system that can drive you to have that inflammation in those muscles. A lot of times you'll see anxiety comes along with fibromyalgia. Depression comes along with fibromyalgia. There's a lot of different, poor diets. And it's a chronic internalization of your daily rituals, which is causing the inflammation and the disease. which you can't treat the disease, because ultimately to treat disease, what would you have to treat? The beliefs, right? And nobody is talking about the beliefs and what to do. They're trying to create, you're trying to treat inflamed muscles, and it's very, very difficult to do that. And then you end up going on the medication cycle. So when we talk about nutrition, I'm going to talk about nutrition, not the stuff that I learned in school, but the stuff that I learned after school, because, you know, ultimately when we look at, oh yeah, sorry, so beliefs, right? Insanity is doing what? Doing the same thing over and over again, expect a different result. So I have people that come in all the time and they're saying, all right, Doc, I'm going to lose weight. Give me a diet. I'm like, all right, come on. Seriously, did you just ask me to give you a diet? I mean, how many people can, I mean, stop eating. No, I can't do that. Well, you want to lose weight that bad, stop eating, you'll lose weight. You know, it's not in the diet. Everybody's already heard, you know, you've heard the term or the saying, you know, the word diet isn't diet, right? And it's because the idea is not the diet itself, or it's not the food. Whenever we look at digestion issues, whether it's reflux or irritable bowel, everybody looks at the nutrition. Okay, give me a better diet. And ultimately, it's not the diet. You know, there are other places that you need to identify way before you ever get to the nutrition, the diet. And we're going to get into that in a second. So let's kind of go over some of these diet things that we see in our teenagers today, right? Or even not even teenagers and kids. What's the number one, what would you say one of the number one epidemics in our children's diet is of 2015, 2014, 2000s? Right? Sugar. I mean, it's ridiculous how much sugar there is in our children's diet. Do you know how many table? All right, so let's talk about this. In any one given time, in your bloodstream, how much sugar can you have circulating in your bloodstream? Let's say, should you have actually circulate in your bloodstream? That's good. That's a good point.
7 grams.
Anybody else? Circulating in your bloodstream. So when you eat food, where's that sugar go? Into the bloodstream, right? Anybody? 7 grams. I got 7 grams. There's 9, what's that? 50. Nice, you're all jacked up. That's awesome. That's so fantastic. 50. Yeah, I know. All right, so your blood sugar levels, right? At one time, right now, circulating in your blood, you can only have 1 teaspoon of sugar in your blood at one time. The difference between a diabetic person and a normal non-diabetic individual is 1/4 teaspoon. All right. Think about what that means. That is such a tightly regulated system. How many teaspoons are in one can of soda? Actually, hold on. I'm wrong. That's 9 tablespoons. So that's 50, what'd you say? That's actually this 44 grams in 1 can of soda. So now, can you possibly take all of that sugar, right, and put it in, hold in your bloodstream? No, where's it go? Immediately, it goes right into the bloodstream and then right into the fat cells. So, I say this all the time, and we're going to be talking about it a little bit later. Eating fat does not make you fat. Eating sugar and carbohydrates makes you fat. All right? Because it's the old way of thinking, right? The way that we grew up, we grew up with this chart, right? And this chart is called the planning food pyramid. We have the food pyramids in all of our schools, and they're beautiful. They're like you can put like the brains up here. They make some beautiful food pyramid charts. They're like awesome. But let me tell you something. It couldn't be further from the truth. And as in the United States, we live in the United States of America, right? One of the healthiest places to live on earth. Where do you think the United States ranks on the 50 healthiest countries in the world? We're dead last. No, hold on. Oh, no, that was 2012, we were dead last. We don't even rank on the 50 healthiest countries in the world. That's based on life expectancy. So it's our beliefs are driven by the people around us. And the people around us, they're all wrong. It's in all due respect, it's, you know, we're living in a culture that has never been more chronically sick ever. Right? So we have to look at the why. You know, and when I grew up and when I was in school, I was taught the first place you gotta look, right? The first place in if anybody has any digestion issue or energy issues, you look at, you know, the digestive tract. You know, how do we digest food, right? So what do we do first? We chew, which is food's broken down how? Right, through saliva. And then where's the food go? Stomach, right? And then how's food, this isn't a quiz, guys. It's like, we're good, we can answer. How's food broken down there? Through what? Enzymes and digestive acids, right? And then where's it go that get broken down? Intestines. What breaks it down there? Ooh, we've stumped. So it goes through the pancreas. Pancreas breaks it down with another digestive enzyme. And then ultimately, what breaks down your food to get it able to absorb through the digestive tract? What's that? No. It's in the digestive tract. It's one of the you have more of cultures of this than you have cells in your entire body. Three times more. Thank you. Yes. Bacteria, probiotics. So then, you know, the old way, you know, the old way of thinking is, okay, you got to have an issue here. Well, you're chewing too fast. You're nervous and you're shutting stuff down. Well, I was accepted to medical school, and with this way of thinking. And the way that I look at the difference between medical school and chiropractic school is MD is medicine first, doctor second. Chiropractic is DC, which is doctor first, chiropractic second. So what does that mean? First, it's education. Education. We don't need to look to a medication first. We need to educate somebody on lifestyle, and then we need to see. Because the missing factor here for me was if I water a garden and I step on the garden hose, what happens to the garden? Dies, right? So what's controlling all of this? What controls the entire body? What controls the entire body? The nervous system. Nervous system's controlling everything in the human body. Absolutely everything in the human body is controlled by the nervous system. T5 to T9. That area goes directly to your stomach. So if you ever see a child or even adult have a scoliosis, that's taking the spine, compressing it like this. The nerves are getting compressed. And if those nerves are going to the stomach or the digestive tract, they're going to have a digestion issue, independent of how well they eat. You can't eat a better diet and not have a digestion issue at that point. If any children in here, or even if you as adults or your children, had ear infections as a child, they're going to grow up with a digestion issue. And they're going to grow up with breathing issues. They're going to have allergies. And it's all the neurological connection that people don't make this they don't make this connection to. Because ultimately the spine is controlling everything, and the structure of your spine is just as important to the health of the garden than stepping on the garden hose. So the first place I look, take your pressure off of the hose, and then allow the garden to flourish. Does that make sense? Now, if the garden is not flourishing, then we have to look here. So I believe we have it's backwards, the way of thinking. And then ultimately, if you have a stomach issue, the nerve that comes out that goes to the stomach also goes to the muscles above and below, so you're going to have tight muscles in that area. So if a child has tightness in here, they're going to have a stomach issue. If they have tightness up here, they're going to have a breathing issue. Tightness down here, they're going to have... I know her. Oh, yeah, that's good. Sorry. I shouldn't have done that. We have borders. So when you have tightness in different areas of the spine, that's directly resulted to what's going on in the organs. So I just wanted to get that physical aspect of kind of where my mindset is before we even go. Because I have patients that come to me all the time for different things, and they say, no, first thing we need to do, clear out your spine. But, doc, I want to lose weight. Trust me, you can have a thyroid issue that's preventing you from losing weight, or you could have an issue with digesting the food that we need to address first. Then we can start talking about nutrition. And nutrition is fun, real fun. I love nutrition, but you need to be able to get there first. So, how many people have ever heard of a probiotic? How many people have taken a probiotic? Okay, how many people are afraid because they don't want to put bacteria in your body? I mean, I hear that all the time. So ultimately what happens is when you chew food, that food gets broken down, goes into the stomach, then goes to the digestive tract to then be broken down by bacteria. Now, the issue nowadays is every piece of food that's in the supermarket is irradiated. It has to be in order to maintain shelf life. Has anybody picked a peach from... Anybody have peach trees? Am I the only Italian in here? No. All right. Pick a peach tree. How long do those peaches typically last? A couple days, right? Oh, my God. Think about going to Demoulas and getting this peach. It's like the peach from the garden, right? I mean, it's like this big. I mean, that thing can sit in your refrigerator for like 2 weeks and still peach, you know? The reason why that is because it's irradiated and all the bacteria on the outside of that that peach is killed. And that bacteria in the outside of food is called probiotics. So doing that, and anybody read the article in, I think it was Time, I can't remember, but it's no big surprise. Do you know where the number one source of all of our antibiotic resistance comes from in this country? Comes from the food we eat, because the cows and everything is fed, they're all fed food with antibiotics in it. So that antibiotics is in the meat that you're eating, so you're getting a lot of that antibiotics just by eating the foods that you're eating. And remember, bacteria in your antibiotic doesn't care what it kills. It kills the bacteria in your GI tract. So you're breaking down that good bacteria in your GI tract. And what ends up happening is yeast takes place, or bad bacteria takes place, and then you eat food, you get bloated, you get the farts, you know, oh my God, I run to the bathroom. I mean, I have people literally that when they came to see me, they have to eat and then have to poop. I mean, you know, it really should be like a 24-hour thing. It should stay. Seriously, when you eat, it doesn't come out for 24 hours later. So whatever it came out today, you ate yesterday, just to let you know that. I'm free, man. I love talking about poop. I mean, it's a cool thing. There's an actual poop chart. You can go online and click on like poop chart, and you can see what your poop is supposed, like this water poop and like hard poop. But get comfortable with it, because it's an important indicator and how your digestive tract is doing. So what you really want to do is you want to make sure that the bacteria in your GI tract is well maintained. You want to do that specifically for breaking down food, and also the next thing for your immune system. Your digestive system in your immune system, they work together as like a second brain. And when anybody ever has immunosuppression or allergies or asthma, a lot of that type of stuff does stem from the GI tract. So taking a probiotic, a good dose of probiotic, or a good, if nobody's ever taken one, is about 8 billion, a billion dose of probiotic multi-strain. You can get them in, you can get that anywhere. You can get it at Whole Foods or Trader Joe's. Don't take like 100 billion, which some people do, because it does the opposite. It really irritates the GI tract. Yes? That is exactly where I was just going to go. And then some people, thank you, think that, I mean yogurt, man. I got probiotics. we're gonna get to that as why we have to be cautious on how much dairy we eat. Okay. Let's get to it there. How many people have heard that when you read a book, if you don't know one word, if you go past that word, you're never going to remember what's going on the rest of the book? No? Well, that might be just my ADD brain. That's probably what they told me when I was a kid, because I'm always still thinking about that word. So let me address milk. Anybody ever heard that milk was good for us? Milk does the body good. Yeah, right. Anybody ever heard that milk is not so good for us? Whoa. Wow. It's getting more and more and more. So why is milk good for us? Well, here. What's that? Calcium, right? And give me some else. Vitamin D. Yep. And one more. Protein, right? And fat too. Yeah. Medium chain fatty acids. So, somebody tell me why milk is bad for me. Well, it has. Does milk have cholesterol? Yeah, it does. Yeah. Okay. A little bit of cholesterol. Give me some else. The lactate, so the protein in milk, so protein's good, protein's bad, yep, and sugar. Okay, well, here's the deal. Milk. Calcium, any nutrition majors in here, minors? No? All right. Calcium is absorbed in an acidic environment. What does that mean? It needs acid. It needs acid in the area to activate the enzyme in order for you to absorb the milk. Absorb the calcium. Is milk a base or an acid? Base, right. So milk is high in calcium, but you don't absorb the calcium in milk because of the fact that it's a base. Now, one thing that milk is very, very high in is phosphates. Anybody know what phosphates do? Phosphates, nitrates, nitrites. Make your blood acidic. So what happens is phosphates and calcium share the same channel to go across the GI tract. So in phosphates are very readily absorbable. Calcium takes a lot more to be absorbed. So if there's a phosphate in an area and a calcium's in an area, the phosphate will go through, but the calcium will be blocked. So anything that's high in phosphates and calcium at the same time, you will only absorb the phosphates, which makes your blood very acidic, which draws calcium from the bones to help buffer the blood. So you the problem is we're drinking. I just took a family off of 4 gallons of milk a week, and people are like, oh my God, that's excessive. I think a glass of milk a day is excessive, but when you're drinking that much. And they, as a family, they had a lot of digestion issues, and nobody was really attributing that milk to the digestion issues. So you just got to be cautious how much milk you drink, that's all. Okay?
Sorry, just to clarify, you're saying it's actually taking away calcium even when you think you're...
It is, yes. Yes, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So one can of soda. Is soda good for you or bad for you? Bad. Soda is extremely high in sugar and phosphates. Okay? That's what makes soda acidic, is the phosphates in it. It has just as much phosphates in it as milk does. So to drink, to offset the acidity effect of one can of soda, right, how many glasses of water do you think you'd have to drink?
Oh,
32. Wow. Right? So can you possibly drink 32 glasses of water? No. So what? Yeah. That's like in that same time frame. So you can't do that. So what ends up happening is the body buffers that with calcium, calcium from the bones. So immediately you've probably heard that soda causes, you know, osteoporosis. It's because it's acidic, but milk has the same amount of phosphates in it. Okay. Yeah, all right, fantastic. Thanks. Take it and pass it down. Thank you so much. All right, so that was the old way of thinking. So this is the old way of thinking, as far as I'm concerned. Fats, isn't that pretty? Fats, carbohydrates, proteins, vitamins, and minerals. Now, what's your major energy source at rest? Yes. Good. Your major... Bang! Fat! Major energy source at rest is fat. It should be, but it's not. Right? That's one of the major things that I do in my practice is to get people back to their major energy source at rest being fat. Do you want to know why it's not fat anymore? Because we're jacking ourselves with carbohydrates and we're eating all day long. How many people have ever heard, oh, eat like 17 meals a day? Right? A little bit, all day long. Keep your insulin levels like this. Right? You're jacking yourself with food all the time in your body. I mean, how much sugar can your blood hold? One teaspoon. Don't you think you have enough of that in your body and stores of fat? Absolutely. But what's happening is, We're craving all of this food and we eat when our blood sugar levels are all over the place and our bodies don't know how to stabilize it anymore. So what's happening is we're eating all the time. We're getting fatter and fatter and fatter because nobody's breaking down fat as your major energy source. So your major energy source sitting right there is fat. It should be. But, you know, we just had dinner and now everybody's tired. They're going to fall asleep. They're going to pass out. So we need to be very careful. I'm a firm believer in eating less food. And let me tell you something. You ask my wife, you ask my kids. I never have lack of energy. So I totally, and I grew up, in, I'm 100% Italian. Trust me, my mother wants to, you know, disown me because I don't eat so much. And I grew up, I understand the culture. I know you should always eat. You know, oh my God, I'm so skinny. I know, I heard that, Ma. Fine. They have high cholesterol, high blood pressure. But whatever, I'm the skinny one. Right, so, but I'm the most energetic and most focused, but I don't eat a lot of food. What do you think out of these things here, other than the next category I'm going to give you, but out of these things here, what do you think my major energy, what do you think my one, you know? Fat. Exactly. I'm fat. If your major energy source at rest is fat and you want to stimulate fat production, you got to eat fat. Oh my God, hips. I know, trust me, I'm so sorry. By eating fat, you will eat less food, right? And by getting your fat metabolism to be much more, let's say, efficient, you will eat less food. Eating less food makes you break down what?
Fat.
Fat stores. And you will burn fat. Thank you. All right, and then it's great. Everybody understands it here, right? Fat. Everybody understands it. And then we get down. You know, all right. What do you think here? What do you think of my diet? I'm like, all right. I want you to just take a teaspoon of coconut oil. You know, coconut oil. You know, fattening that is. And I always hear that because we're so brainwashed to think that fat's bad. Fat is actually good. And then the other category, which I'm all jacked up on, in the next half an hour, we're going to be talking about this, like. I get all jacked up on this. Life. Right? How do you eat life?
One bite at a time.
You are true. We're going to get to this. I love it. This guy, I swear to God, I didn't do that. All right. Can everybody see that? All right. Let's look at this. Calories right here, right? 70. Calories over here, 185. Whoa, we're reading food labels here, sister. This is not, Right, and then we have, there should be fat. Oh, fat, zero fat. That's nice. Right? How much fat over here? Whoa! 18 grams of fat? Are you kidding? You know what? Where does that go? That's right. He knows it. Right? Bang! Right? Olean potato chips. You know what that, you want constipation? You eat these babies. You want to let it out? How many people have heard that coconut gives you high cholesterol? Yeah. It doesn't. All right, let's do it again. All right, nutritional facts. See, these are facts. Calories, 80. Calories, 120. Reading, you know, food labels. All right, okay, I'm feeling it. Fat zero. Oh, I'm doing good here. What's this? Sugars of 14. Sugars of 28. Oh, are you kidding me? That's like the same stuff. What's the difference? It is, I love it. One has phosphates. I love her. That's all. You're right. You kind of are. Is eating this like drinking this? No. Right. Okay. This is my best circle of life picture I could find. Ultimately, where do we get our energy from? Thank you. We do, right? Okay. Can't deny it. Everybody loves it. The sun. Now, sun transfers its energy to the plant. The deer eats the plant. And then the lion eats the deer, right? So ultimately, where's the deer getting its energy from? The sun. Where's the lion, tiger, bears? Where's he getting its energy from? My kids will be like, "Dad, it's a male lion." And where's it getting? It's the sun, right? All right. Let's genetically modify this whole situation. All right. Now the deer's eating a donut. All right. Well, that's not too far-fetched because it's all corn-fed, you know. So now it's eating the donut. Where's it getting its energy from now? Fats, carbohydrates, and proteins. That's it. We're missing something. That whole life algae type of thing is missing. So when you eat food that's devoid of this thing that's not on the periodic chart, let's say called life, what's happening is, let's say you eat a pizza. It takes a lot more energy to break down that pizza digestively. You had pizza for lunch, didn't you? This is a non-judgmental free zone. I'm only kidding. I'm judging everybody. Okay. What's that? Yeah. I know they did. I went to Whole Foods right on my way here. So, if you eat pizza, it takes more energy to break down that pizza than you get from that energy, so you get drawn down, you get that crash. Versus when you eat like a salad, you know, it doesn't take a lot of energy to break it down. You think about your digestive tract like a juicer. It kind of lifts you up. Because there's this stuff that's called Kirlon photography. Has anybody ever heard of it? You take pictures of auras or energy being emitted from foods or things, and then they've taken different things. This is an organic broccoli on this side. This is a regular broccoli. Look at how much more life, I guess you can say, is irradiating. They're really trying to quantify this now. Now, that's a good food, right? Look at this, a tomato. So you have this cooked tomato here on the left, and look at this thing. Look at this corn, right? So you have regular corn here, and then you have cooked, lightly steamed corn here. But see how much more life or energy is being irradiated from these different foods? Now look at that. All right. Now that is all jacked up. That thing's like a museum of science thing. Now this is the stuff I want to put in my body. The food that harnesses the most amount of energy. It's called a what? Superfood, yeah. And I'm all jacked up on superfoods. I love the stuff. I mean, look at how much potential energy that food has. I mean, look at the goji berry. Anybody ever heard of goji berries? Yeah, oh my god. Well, we have some issues. We're going to put some sugar on that. But the goji berry is another superfood. So what I thought, instead of going into the whole regular nutrition thing, like, okay, gentlemen, I'm going to teach you the food pyramid, and I don't do that stuff. I wanted to kind of cut it here, and I wanted to start going into my superfood talk, because I love superfoods. I mean, I just gave this talk for Whole Foods, and we customized a superfood smoothie over there. I mean, I love superfoods, because when you are not eating a lot of food, you want to eat very nutritionally dense food. I mean, and I exercise at a very, very high level, especially with mountain biking and doing some of these other things. So I need to make sure I have a lot of energy and my blood sugar levels don't crash. So I really try to put the really, really good food into my system. You know, you kind of think about your body as a let's say a car, or let's say you have a Ferrari. All right, now you're not going to put unleaded gas in that thing. You're going to put just high octane, get the best out of it. And that's really the way that I love to treat my body. I mean, granted, tonight I'll probably go to Mexico Lindo, have margaritas, and anybody ever been to Mexico Lindo? Yeah, the place is unbelievable. You got the best margaritas on the planet. But, you know, I work on the 80-20 rule that, you know, 80% of the time, you know, you put good stuff in your body, so the other 20% of your time you can have fun. I'm only kidding. It's fun to eat good. All right. So one of the big things that I'm huge, huge, huge on is honey. Honey is one of those things that is a little bit higher on the glycemic index, but it's almost like eating the orange or drinking the orange juice. The honey that you get in a store, even Whole Foods, is called clove honey. It's dead, devoid of any goodness honey. I mean, honey itself, raw local honey, the honey that we have is from Wakefield, right from the hive, scooped out of the hive, put into a bottle. That type of honey is some of the best thing you can put into your body. I mean, anytime a kid has a burn or a scrape, any bacteria type of any skin issues, even conjunctivitis, you can use honey on. Yep. Honey also is very, very high in probiotics. It's the only food on the planet that will never go bad, ever. It will get hard, but it won't go bad. You can just warm it up. Yep. And they found it in the tombs, 1,000 years old, and they were still edible honey. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And think about this. What's that in Wakefield? Yeah, I take all the honey from a beekeeper, and I sell it. So that's, we sell 60 pounds of honey every couple of weeks. We sell a lot of honey. Because what is one of the benefits of honey? Does anybody know one of the benefits of honey around this time of year?
Allergies.
Why is that? Exactly. It's a local pollen. So that's why it's so important to have local honey. When you eat the pollen, what happens is it goes through your digestive tract, not your respiratory tract. It helps desensitize the body to the pollen allergies. So we've gotten rid of so many people's allergies by just eating the honey. Yes? If you were to have two, so allergies to me are a chronic internal issues. So simple, yes. Let me not get there. Yes, it will help. So if you have 2 tablespoons a day, as long as you're not diabetic, if you have 2 tablespoons a day, make sure that it's raw and local. And make sure it's in season, right? So let's say you're allergic to lilacs and the bees were in, you know, azaleas. I mean, typically, I mean, a jar, does it, it's 225 different bees. I think there's, 2 million flowers are visited to make 1 pound of honey. So chances are there's going to be a little lilac in there, but the hives typically, you know, go to a central location, and then you have other bees that break off of that. So it's important to have honey in season, every season, for your allergies. And it typically, some people, it clears it out in, within a week of taking it. Some people, it takes a full cycle of doing the honey. Yeah, within about 15, 20 miles of your house. Yep. Any other questions? Eczema is coming from your digestive tract. So it will help eczema, but your eczema is a digestive issue.
Where would the normal person buy the local honey like that?
Typically from like a farm, or where in Wakefield, you can always get it from us. Okay? But yeah, you get it from farms, you get it from farm stands. You need to ask them, right, because they'll say, oh, raw honey or something like that. But they could still be getting it from, you know, Maine or New Hampshire. You need to make sure, where are the hives? You want to know where the hives are. Right? I mean, it's crazy. A bee makes, you know, a 12th of a tablespoon her whole life. I mean, it's just ridiculous how much potential energy is in honey. It's the only food on the planet that increases strength, endurance, and energy and speed. So they use it a lot in, the Russians did a lot of research on honey for the Olympics. So what they did is they would travel with honey. I travel with honey all the time because it also has a lot of the bacteria in your environment. So I travel throughout the country, do a lot of speaking. So I always travel with honey to decrease my jet lag because it decreases stomach issues, especially when you're traveling. It's great for IBS, great for staph infections, pollen, reduces antihistamines, and it's also great to use topically. I do, yeah. Yeah. Just a tablespoon. Never, ever, ever microwave honey. It just kills it. But if you can put it in tea or something like that, it doesn't break down the pollen. All right. You're welcome. Yeah, honey can get to 180 degrees normally, and you wouldn't be able to drink water that hot. So next thing is goji berry. Goji berry is phenomenal food. So goji berries are just these little berries. You take them, put a handful in your water. Very, very alkalizing. It's great for your brain, eyes. Only food that's proven to increase human growth hormone. Human growth hormone is one of those hormones that help your body heal, keeps you young. It is just a great, great source of what's it called? Xanthanalanines. So they're called adaptogens. So an adaptogen is a new substances in the bodies that have been found that it can be an enzyme, it can be a mineral. It changes its structure. The body can use these things in different places, and these adaptogens are really, really cool. The higher your diet is in adaptogens, the more energy you're going to have. The better you're going to be able to heal. So it's also great in alkalinity. pH balance is ultimately my major focus when I'm looking at somebody nutritionally. I want to be able to pull acidic foods out of their diet, add in alkalizing types of foods, and goji berry is an extremely great alkalizer. In the next one that is a phenomenal alkalizer, it is actually has the highest level of antioxidants of any other food on the planet is cacao. And the way to eat cacao is in like a powder form. They sell cacao powder, and you take cacao powder, my kids love it, take it, put in water, or put in a little bit of almond milk or rice milk, mix it up, and you have hot chocolate, or you have chocolate milk. It's a phenomenal alternative to chocolate and milk. And yes, it's going to be, takes a little getting used to, but it's all about palate. You do it a little bit over a period of time, take half Nestle's quick, you know, and then half cacao, and then kind of do it that way so they don't know. It is so, so good. Give me a food on the planet that is very high in antioxidants. All right, blueberries, right? And give me something else. Dark chocolate. Yeah, and something else, raspberries, right? So here we go. Watch this. So blueberries are right down here. So it's called the auric value. So blueberries have 32 on the auric, a score of 32. Cherries are 21. Blackberries are 51. Goji berries 133. Cacao powder 955. Nothing even comes close to how healthy this stuff is. And it's called also the feel-good food because it helps. Why is it called the feel-good food? Exactly, because it helps increase your serotonin levels. Right? What's that? Yeah, he's great, man. He's a smart guy. He's probably one of the smartest guys in the room right here. No, sorry. Alright, so now the last one, coconut. Now coconut is big because the way that I use coconut is in oils. Now, you know, when you eat salads, a lot of times what will happen is you'll salad and then you'll put, you know, the dressing on. Well, what I typically do is I'll use oil instead of dressing. Or, you know, so you make coconut oil dressings or stuff like that. But fat with fruit, fat with vegetables, really, really good. Because when you eat, let's say, something like an apple, what's that going to do to your insulin level? It's going to make it go up, right? What if you eat apple with peanut butter or apple with, let's say, almond butter? What happens? It balances out. So if an apple does this to your insulin, when you eat it with a protein or a fat, it levels it out a lot more. So the more fats that you, these natural and good fats that you have in your diet, what's going to happen is when you eat your foods, you're going to have less of a crash. So on my salads, I love to add oil. And coconut oil is one of those things that is so good for you that you just take it, you take a little scoop of it when you're, you know, if you're hungry or you're, I know I'm crazy, but if you're hungry, but you just take a little scoop of coconut oil and you eat it. And I'm telling you, it is so good. And because we're not hungry because we're starving, we're hungry because our insulin levels are low. And if you can do something small to create, to balance out your insulin levels, you will start to stimulate this fat metabolism. And by stimulating your fat metabolism, you're going to kind of go through that halitosis, you know, that bad breath for a little bit. You're going to start breaking things down. You're not going to start feeling so good. But once your body comes out of that and you're able to start stabilizing your insulin levels with your fat cells, and by eating fat, you will never, ever, ever have a weight issue. Ever again. I promise. That's a Dr. Martoni guarantee. Yes. Coconut comes in flakes. Coconut flakes. Oh, the oil comes in these round tub, like glass tubs, and then you open it. If coconut oil gets warm, it turns into a liquid. If it cools down, it turns into a fat.
But how do you put it in?
Exactly. Just warm it. Yep.
So microwave.
Never put anything in the microwave. Yeah. 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 Look, and she uses it in her hair. How beautiful hair does she have? Would you see? Look at this right here. Thank you very much. You know, it's beautiful. Use it on your skin. I mean, you know, it. Coconut oil is so powerful. It is so good. You know, they coconut water, right? So they sell these coconuts at their baby coconuts. They have them at Whole Foods. You could take a hammer and a screwdriver, pound one side, pound the other side, stick a straw in the thing, and now you're drinking coconut right from the coconut itself. It's a baby coconut, which they used to use in World War I or II for blood transfusions. So you used to take a coconut, puncture a thing in it, and put it right into your blood when a soldier loses blood, because it is almost identical to our blood plasma. So when you take that coconut water And then you also add something like chlorophyll, like a blue-green algae. Anybody familiar with blue-green algae? It's there's something that's called chlorella or spirulina. These are some blue-green algaes. And you take that along with some coconut water and you eat it. It is like an instant blood transfusion. You know, like when you're a guy all jacked up on caffeine, right? So you drink the caffeine, you're like, woohoo, yeah, wow! You know, and you're like, whoa, yeah, this is great. So you do that for a little bit, and then you stop it. Oh, man, you get a headache, or after you get caffeine, you get a crash. When you're doing stuff like using these blue-green algaes and this chlorophyll and this coconut water, and you're starting to use these superfoods, you don't get these crashes because it's not doing it through the adrenal system, and it's not giving you a stimulation through a sugar high. It's giving you a stimulation through just natural food and life energy. And that is really what I want you to kind of understand today, is that it's not all about the planning pyramid. It's not all about fats, carbohydrates, and proteins. There are other things there's other stuff in food. You know, there's DNA, there's mitochondria, there's in food that's live food, there's life in it. And if you want some...
Could I have your attention, sir?
Yeah.
In order to be entered,
yeah.
Please write your name on the index.
Thank you.
School.
Yeah, I know. I don't. Is it God? I knew it was a woman. My wife told me that all the time. The extra. You don't waste any index set. You know what that's going to do to your budget? Done. See you later. Yeah.
All right. They don't buy them anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So here's one more thing, guys. Hold up. Yeah, we don't have. All right. So here, I'm going to put that. Oh my God, I had a lot more. All right, so if you guys want this information, this talk, just text your name there, and then you'll get that. So that was a good question. Am I recommending all organic? And I will open up the floor to some questions now that we have 8 minutes left. Do I have 8 minutes? Yeah, all right, 8 minutes left. So organic, is organic good? Organic bad? Is it bull crap? So organic is good. So there's something that's called the Dirty Dozen. Anybody ever heard of the Dirty Dozen? They're the dirtiest foods that you can eat. So stuff it's like lettuce, thin leafy type of thing. Strawberries very high on the Dirty Dozen. Grapes very, very high on the Dirty Dozen. So there are foods that the 12 foods that you want, you really should eat organic because of how many pesticides are used in the process of those. But so you Google, and I can add it to what I give you guys. But Google the Dirty Dozen. It changes every, you know, with farming and stuff like that. But those you really should eat organic. But like a banana,
right,
where it's so thick, you don't need to eat that organic because it's not not as much. Does anybody, what's that?
The take on bananas, because I hear mixed.
So, you know, the take on bananas is bananas, in any aspect, when you eat food, the timing of eating the food is important, okay? So, now, if you have to, let's say somebody's going to go exercise and you didn't eat all day, right? Well, you kind of, you know, you don't want to challenge your insulin levels because you'll hit a wall. So if you eat a banana is high in potassium, has some other electrolytes in them, so it'd be good thing to eat a banana at that point. But bananas... culturally, for some reason up in this area, can be a little binding, right? Do you know what I mean by binding? So when you eat something like that, it could be an issue. But you really have to, anything in moderation is fine. Yeah, I like bananas in my smoothies. Any other questions?
What was that smoothie recipe?
The smoothie recipe? Well, the smoothie recipe is for some reason, I don't have it on here. I don't have it on here. I thought I did. When I did Whole Foods, I did a smoothie recipe and we had it there. So what it is it's a quarter of a cup of cacao powder, right? A half an avocado. Coconut almond milk. I like that combination. So it's coconut almond milk. It's a quarter of a cup. An eighth of a cup of goji berries. Tablespoon of honey. And there was something else. Banana. Yeah, it was a banana.
Almond milk.
Then I add a little bit of ice. I use the coconut almond milk to make it how thick or thin that you want it. Yeah, that is a. Yeah, I'll do that. So I don't have that every breakfast, but that's one of the smoothies I will have. Yeah. Goji berries. I think everybody's selling them now. You can. Yeah, you can get them. You get them at Whole Foods. Yeah. Yes. We use a lot of oils when we cook. Coconut oil is one of the oils that we use. We use cold pressed extra virgin olive oil, stuff like that. I'd have to tap out and talk to my wife. Sorry. Yeah. How much is it? A 1-to-1 ratio? Yeah, I'm not too sure of that. Yeah, maybe I could Google that. My office, just to let you know, is on. Anybody know where Teal Road is? Anybody know where Whole Foods is in Wakefield?
Yeah.
Right on that. Do you know how there's like that Audubon Road? I'm on Audubon Road. We just had a flood, right? That wiped out my entire office. A toilet overflowed. It was awesome. This happened the day of my. this was a day. Somebody had bananas, right? A lot of them. And it was a day before my vacation, and my whole office was flooded. So when we bought this property, we bought two buildings, so we just moved into the building next to it. While the other ones, we're building a whole massage center, acupuncture, personal fitness, yoga, meditation. That's in the building that I'm in now, but we had to put that on hold because we're in it right now. Guys, I want to thank you so much. Enjoy.